are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Caspick, and on this show, we provide episodes, actually for now, 3 days a week, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Coming up on today's show, we have a lot of ground to cover. A couple of players that the Giants were rumored to be interested in have signed with other teams. So we're going to talk about what those deals were, why the Giants weren't competitive at those price ranges, and who else is left for them to fill the holes and descriptions of what they're looking for. There's also a lot to talk about with the state of baseball and the expectation of when the season is going to start. An offer was made by MLB to the Players Association. That offer was rejected. So we'll talk about those details as well. First, a little bit about me. I've been a contributor for the baseball analysis sites Beyond the Box Score and FanGraphs as a RotoGraphs contributor. I started a Giants podcast called CoveCast in 2015 and then began hosting this show prior to the 2019 season. So when we last spoke last week, we were talking about how, and actually we spent a lot of time last week talking about how Jock Peterson and Eddie Rosario were fits to varying degrees on the San Francisco Giants. They were ultimately similar players in that they were left-handed corner bats who were above average against right-handed pitching and not the best defensive players. So both of those players ended up signing with other teams since the last time we spoke. Jock Peterson ended up signing with the Cubs for a total of what is just $7 million. So the 2021 salary is actually going to be less than that, and then there's a mutual option that has a buyout that makes the total guarantee $7 million for 1 year. So this is a surprisingly light contract, and certainly one that the Giants could have easily matched or bested. But ultimately, what it seems is that the Cubs offered Peterson the opportunity to not platoon, which is something that apparently he really wanted. He wanted the opportunity to face righties and lefties just to be an everyday player, and that is something that the Giants, for good reason, very likely weren't going to be willing to offer him. So what this ultimately shows me and tells me is that the market for Peterson was a lot cooler than I thought it might have been. I said on the record here that I would be comfortable giving him a multi-year deal. I was even thinking upwards of 3 years. I mean, not upwards of 3 years, but 3 years as a maximum. But he ends up getting a very kind of cheap $7 million guarantee over 1 year. So I guess, teams may be legitimately concerned about his defense. There are some reasons. He definitely, put on a little bit of weight. I don't normally like to comment on that type of thing, but as it pertains to his defense, I think it did look like he slowed down a little bit out there this year, and he did struggle at the plate. And so I guess it's not too crazy that he ended up getting this cheaper deal. And then Eddie Rosario, who kind of falls into a similar boat, ends up signing a 1 year, $8 million deal with the Cleveland Indians. So like Peterson, this is certainly a reasonable contract that the Giants certainly could have matched or done even better. So it's clear to me from these two deals that the Giants weren't extremely interested in these two players. The reports were that they were talking to them. Susan Slusser has said that the Giants explicitly are seeking a lefty outfield bat, even with the addition of Lestella, which has still not been officially announced, by the way. But so the markets for Rosario and Peterson were much, much colder than I think a lot of people would have expected, myself included. I'm not shocked about Rosario. I did think Peterson would do a little bit better. But this just goes to show you that, being a one-dimensional player in today's day and age is not highly valued by teams. A lot of people look at Rosario, they see the 30-plus home run season recently, they see 100-plus runs batted in, and they think this is an elite type of player, or at least a borderline star type of player. But instead, you know, a one-year, $8 million deal is very, very average, very, very middling. And so that just goes to show you the middle class in baseball is not doing very well. And so, you know, moving on from these two, when it comes to who else is left in free agency, there are still a couple of players who I think will do quite well ultimately in Trevor Bauer and Marcell Ozuna, both of whom have some connection to the Giants. Bauer is an obvious fit in some ways because the Giants, you know, could certainly use starting pitching help, and he's obviously the best starting pitcher available, or pretty clearly. And Ozuna, the Giants were linked to him early in the offseason. I don't understand how he would fit, so ultimately I think there's very little chance, unless there's a DH in the National League and the Giants just sell out on him being the DH full-time. But I think those two will do well, and then besides that, it's starting to thin out. You've got Nelson Cruz, who doesn't make sense unless there's a DH in the National League. And then Jackie Bradley Jr. This is a guy that I was lower on than Jock Peterson, and arguably lower on than Eddie Rosario. He's certainly a different skill set. And a lot of Giants fans and some of the writers have been talking about how he's a perfect fit. And I've come around on it a little bit. I don't buy into what he did offensively this year. There's just all kinds of red flags in the offensive performance from 2020, not to mention the fact that it was a small sample. And so to put a lot of weight into that performance and ignoring his long track record of being just, you know, a slightly below average hitter. And again, my main issue is not just that it's a small sample. There, you know, the batted ball data was not particularly good. There's just all kinds of issues there. So I expect him to continue to be a below average bat. Decent against right-handed pitching, but an impact defender. I looked more into kind of what his current defense is, and it's still elite, even though he's over 30 years old, and he's still an impact runner. So we'll talk more about the remaining fits for the Giants. And also, I want to talk at least briefly about what's going on, when the season is going to start, what's going on between MLB and the MLBPA. So that's all coming up next. But first, who's ready for some football? The Super Bowl is this weekend. And there's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. The NBA, meanwhile, is in full swing. Baseball is right around the corner. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, next I want to talk about our good friends over at Built Bar. If you know me, you know that I love these bars. The taste is definitely the best part, but if you're a health-conscious person like me, the real kicker is that somehow they're very low in calories and low in sugar. I would not be eating a protein bar, frankly, that's high in sugar, but Built Bar manages to taste like a candy bar and be extremely low in sugar. Just to give you an example, the Cookies and Cream bar has 17 grams of protein and just 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar. Built Bar has even reset the promo code for this relaunch. For a limited time, you can also get a free cooler with your purchase while supplies last. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, as promised here in the second half of the show, I want to continue a little bit talking about Jackie Bradley Jr., want to look at the rest of the free agent landscape, and then talk about how spring training is supposed to begin in just a couple of weeks, and we're just now finally hearing about a back and forth between MLB and the Players Association. but that, surprise, surprise, those talks went nowhere, and we're back to the same old animosity between the two sides. We're covering everything you need to know about the Giants, but what about the rest of sports? Now, the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by the great Peter Bukowski, and it's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get podcasts. So wrapping up that first discussion, the free agent market moved a little bit in the last week. There was a flurry of signings. Off the top of my head, we had LaStella, Marcus Simeon, D.D. Gregorius, J.T. Realmuto, Brad Hand, Adam Wainwright. Nolan Arenado was traded. I mean, we could spend an entire episode about that. I'm sure most of you have heard about that. Just to give a two-second summary there, this is really good news for the Giants because Arenado was a thorn in their side for his entire career. So my kind of point there is that I don't see a lot of great outfield left-handed bat options besides Jackie Bradley Jr. remaining. And again, I'm going to repeat that I was the kind of low guy on Jackie Bradley Jr. because I don't really believe in his offense. It's entirely possible a team like the Giants could look at him and say, we think we can get more out of his bat. But the point I'm trying to make is that as he currently is, I just think there's not a lot to be excited about in terms of the offensive profile. That being said, we talked about last week also how it would be tough to fit LaStella and a left-handed outfielder on the roster, and you would end up not having room for probably Darren Ruff. I still think that I'm not sure that they want to carry both Slater and Ruff, and also Solano and Flores. You've got kind of two sets of slightly redundant players, all right-handed. So it's going to be interesting to see how it all shakes out. It's still possible, too, that the league and the players could end up agreeing to expanded rosters. What's crazy is that it's February 2nd, and we still don't know about the Universal DH. We don't know about expanded postseason. We don't know when the season's going to start, and we don't know about anything else. I mean, the thing is, what we have to believe is that everything's just going to go off as it was supposed to, as it would under normal circumstances. Because unless there's an alternate agreement that gets made, that's the way it has to be. And so the issue is that the league didn't apparently make an offer about changing anything until just like a week ago or less. And in that proposal, they suggested pushing back spring training and starting the season a month late and then making it a 154-game season. And I forget, ending a little bit late, but not a month late. So there would be some double headers, and also the fact that the season would be 8 games shorter. And they offered the players their full pay despite playing fewer games. But they also added the Universal DH and 14 teams in the postseason as opposed to the normal 10, but two less than last year's 16. So there was a lot going on in this offer, but we heard all along that the players were likely to reject it, and they formally did yesterday on Monday. And the reason for that, the players do not like expanded postseason. First and foremost, I think that's probably the biggest thing. Because agreeing to expand the postseason by 4 teams is a big deal, and if the players are going to give that up, they're going to have to get something they like in return. And there was really nothing in that offer that equates to, what the players would be giving up by expanding the playoffs that much. And the idea there is that if more teams are able to make the postseason, there's less of an incentive to spend because you can just be kind of a middling team and make it to the playoffs, where in baseball, it's kind of a crapshoot anyway. And so there's not a huge incentive to win 95 games when you can get into the playoffs with 85. So there's concerns that it would lead to decreased spending, which we're already seeing now. So it would even get worse in the players' minds. And offering them full pay for fewer games felt hollow to them because they're already guaranteed their full pay without changing the agreement. So they, if they just do nothing, they're guaranteed full pay anyway. So they'd be giving up something huge, not really gaining anything. The league offering the universal DH continues to be kind of disingenuous, I guess, because it's clear that the league wants this also. And so to use it, to try to use it as a bargaining tool to say, we'll give you this if you give us this massive thing, which would be expanded postseason, it just rings hollow and rings like a bad deal for the players. But the reality is there's no doubt that delaying spring training and delaying the season would probably be a good idea. And I think the league's proposal in those respects made a lot of sense. I would love to see them just agree to something reasonable, like expanded roster sizes, bring on the universal DH, expand postseason to 12 teams instead of 14, but more than 10 as it's supposed to be now, and delay the season. I'm not sure I already said that, but I think, you know, delaying the season gives more time for people to get vaccinated, let the caseloads hopefully go down across the country, and the players would benefit from the universal DH. The players would benefit from expanded roster sizes. So I don't think this is over, but as of now, the league has just said, okay, since the union rejected our offer and did not make a counterproposal, that's a significant part too. They just rejected it. They didn't send anything back. But the league has said, all right, since they rejected it and didn't send anything back, spring training is going to start on time and the season is going to start on time on April 1st. So I don't think this is over, and it's entirely possible too, even if that does happen, that they'll show up to spring training, there'll be infections, there'll be a whole clubhouse that gets infected and has an outbreak, and they'll have to cancel games, and it'll be a big mess just like last year. And then you'd have back and forth negotiations that go nowhere and drag on, and then the season would be delayed and on and on. So that's my fear. I'm hopeful they can work something out. That I take it back. I'm not hopeful. I wish they could do it. I don't expect it, but I guess there's a glimmer of hope in me that they can do the rational thing and work something out that benefits both sides. But with the CBA expiring after the season, neither side wants to give an inch and come across as weak and kind of lose some of its leverage going into those negotiations. So this could become an ugly fight. But unless something changes, like the league doesn't have the power to just delay everything on its own. It has to be agreed to. And so unless something new is agreed to, we're just going to proceed as normal, with spring training starting, I think, on February 17th, so just a couple weeks from now, and the season starting April 1st. Anyway, we'll talk more about this tomorrow. I definitely also want to do a mailbag at some point this week, which could be tomorrow or on Thursday. So if you like the show, please consider rating it or leaving a review wherever it is that you're listening. And please be sure to hit that subscribe button to get this show 3 days a week for now and 5 days a week during the season and much of the off season. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic, and you can follow me on Twitter at Ben Kaspic. That's K-A-S-P-I-C-K. Thank you so much for listening. I can't wait to be with you again tomorrow. And until then, we'll see you next time.